Good morning, Cornerstone. Great to have you with us. We are in Psalm 127. There's only five verses in Psalm 127. Of course, we'll be reading all five of them. From time to time, it's been brought to my attention of new folks that are watching these broadcasts. Probably you are homebound or unable to get out, or you're out of state, and you've started tuning into our Sunday morning messages. We are thrilled that you are joining us. We hope that we are a blessing to you and that your faith is stronger by being a part of this. If there's anything that we can do for you, please don't be afraid to reach out and contact us, and we would be glad to communicate with you. If you've got your Bible, hopefully in your lap, and you're sitting there and following along with us, Psalm 127, the Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. So are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy of being able to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are awesome. We are honored to be your servants, to have a personal relationship with you, to know you and have you part of our life. We are sorry for the times we've not been faithful, we've not been watchmen, we've not been obedient. You deserve better than what you get from us. I pray it would be our desire to be all that we can be for you. And as people are watching this service at home or wherever they may be, in a hotel room, wherever you find them, I pray that through this passage, through this message, that we would be benefited, comforted, encouraged, all the things that you do for us that only you can do. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe this is our fifth message on the watchman. This will be our final message on this. Our text in Psalm 127, the Bible warns, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the watchman, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." If the Lord is not in your plans, if he's not part of your life, if you're not living in obedience to him, this is not a message where I'm just trying to scare you and scared straight, if you will. But the reality of it is, life cannot work apart from the presence of the Lord in your life. And as a watchman, the Bible warns us that you're wasting your time trying to watch out for things if you do not have the support of God Almighty in your life. Topic, the job description, the duty of a watchman could go on endlessly. It is the job of a follower of Jesus Christ to live for the Lord and stand against evil. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Stand is the key word in that verse. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." There was a time when God could not find one that would stand. And we've touched on this in the past in Ezekiel 22, 30. He said, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." As John was writing the book of Revelation, he said to the church of Sardis in chapter 3, in Revelation 3, verses 1 and 2, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that livest and art dead." You've got a reputation that you're something that you are not. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation, as he writes down, it says, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. And I believe in the year 2020, where we are right now, that is our duty as a church, as Christians, to be watchful. We'll talk about that a little bit more. And to strengthen the things that remain. And I have lamented of late that it seems like we're losing some of our freedoms and our rights are going away. We mentioned it recently. It's as simple as when I was in grade school, always carried a jackknife. It's just something you had in your pocket. I have one on me now. And if you take a knife to school now, just a pocket knife, just a tool, if you will, that is so handy to have. I use my knife daily for a various number of reasons. But if you take a jackknife to a public school now, that is a weapon that you're not allowed to have. Now, that is just a small snippet of where we are at in society today, and as our freedoms are going away, and obviously we could talk about that for a long period of time, but the reality of it is that we need to, while we've lost some things, maybe we can get them back, maybe we can't, but whatever, what we do have, we want to take care of and strengthen the things that remain. As a watchman, I am to be, number one, I'm to be vigilant. 1 Peter 5, 7 to 9 says, be watchful, circumspect. And let's go to 1 Peter 5. If you have your Bible with you, let's take a look at that. New Testament, 1 Peter 5. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Isn't that good to know? This is a time where, as we look around in society and we're struggling and things aren't going as well as we'd like, that I know that God Almighty cares for me. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Be vigilant. And it's telling us not only in our vigilance that we need to do that, and we'll talk about the word vigilant, but don't think that you're the only one going through what you're going on. The verse goes on, the passage tells you that what you're experiencing there, other people are experiencing as well. Stand, be faithful, be vigilant. The word vigilant means watchful, circumspect. I like the word circumspect. Spect is like to look, like spectacles, like if you wear glasses, you're looking. Spect, and then circum is round. And around, we're supposed to look around us, be aware of everything around us. Be watchful, circumspect, attentive to discover and avoid danger or to provide for safety. That's the definition of vigilant, watchful, circumspect, attentive to discover and avoid danger or to provide for safety. Number one, be vigilant. Steadfast, the Bible says, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Those are things that are constant. It never ends. You and I are in a marathon of the faith, that we are constantly to be running, striving for the prize, looking forward, being vigilant, aware of the things that are around you, not just focused dead ahead, but taking in the entire area. As you get older, hopefully you're more circumspect than when you were young. If you have kids, you've told them, it was a common thing. My parents would say, go out in the garage and get X. So we'd go out in the garage and we'd walk out, look around, come back, couldn't find it. Well, we're not real observant when we're young, and chances are we looked right at it, but we did not see it. That's not truly being circumspect. That's not being watchful. You're not paying attention. And you and I need to be aware of our surroundings. Be attentive to our mission. Focused on what we're supposed to be doing. I grew up hunting. We were deer hunters. And I'm telling you, when hunting season came, as a young person, or I can't remember just how old I was when I first started hunting, probably before it was legal, but the statute of limitations would have run out on that by now. But when we were young, deer season was when we got the winter's meat. Now, I know it sounds like I was born 100 years ago, but it was a while ago. If we didn't shoot a deer in hunting season, we didn't have any meat for the winter. Beef was expensive, and so venison is what we ate. If Floyd shot a deer and Stan shot a deer and Dad shot a deer, that gave us three deer for the season, and that put us in half-decent shape for our winter supply of meat. So when we went into the woods, we were hunting. We were not playing. We were focused on shooting deer. Nothing else. Vigilant. Watchful. Every now and then, someone would want to go hunting with us. And that's fine. But what would happen is they weren't as serious about hunting as we were. And so we'd get in the woods, and when you were hunting deer and you heard a shot, instantly your reflexes are up and you're ready to, if whoever shot at that deer missed, that deer could be coming towards you and you're looking. So as soon as you hear a gunshot, bang! Now you're really alert and you're looking and you're ready and you're gonna if you see that deer coming your way, obviously you're gonna get it. This is all business. So we'd hear the shot, we'd wait a while, nothing happened, and then we'd start working towards where we heard the shot. Perhaps they've shot one or they've wounded it and they need help. So we'd go there and we'd find the hunter where the noise came from. Hey, did you get it? Where is it? Oh, I saw a squirrel and I shot at a squirrel. Huh? What? Are you serious? We are deer hunting. We're not squirrel hunting. We're not shooting beer cans. We're not doing anything. We are deer hunting. And if someone did that, they never came back. We're done with you. We're vigilant. We're making this happen because we're after deer. I know that sounds ridiculous, but now, as we're older, we're not that vigilant about deer hunting. Fact is, I haven't been in quite a while, and I have been known to shoot at something else when I go in the woods. But there was a time. Vigilant. I want you to know you're standing for the Lord. And yes, we laugh, and yes, we enjoy ourselves, and yes, being a Christian is fantastic. And I'm smiling when I'm saying this because my wife says I need to smile more. So I don't know how this looks on TV, but this is great. I'm telling you, the Christian life is awesome. I highly recommend it. But don't get sidetracked on other things. The Lord says, be vigilant, be sober, be circumspect, watch around, because I'm telling you, if the enemy finds a weakness in you, you are going down. It's a dangerous world out there. And you and I, as watchmen, have to be vigilant, focused, watching, looking. And if things get by us that we miss, then danger could come to those that we love. We weren't careful. Number one, we're called to be vigilant. Number two, we're called to be valiant. In Hebrews chapter 11 is obviously the Bible Hall of Fame. And in verses 33 and 34, it says these words, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, unreal, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And we're not talking space aliens. We're talking about foreign invaders, just like we can talk about illegal aliens coming into our country. In other words, foreigners, aliens. Someone might say, wow, they fought outer space. No, it's not that. That foreign enemies that were invading, and they fought them off. And I want you to know, Christian, that in the church today, there are many foreign invaders that will come in and try to steal your joy, take your family. And those invaders, if you will, you can call them what you want. You can name the names of the sin that they represent. But the reality of it is they're all driven by Satan and trying very hard to take you down. And at times, fear can creep in. And rightfully so. In every person, there is a fight or fight, flight switch. Fight or flight. Fight or flight. Say that 10 times fast. There's that switch that comes on when you see the danger. And you either stand and go at it, take on the enemy, or you want to run. Fight or flight. There are those of us, those that run from danger and those that run to danger. Now, I want to say this. The danger you run from, that enemy that's coming at you. Now, obviously, I just want a little sidebar. There are things that we are supposed to flee. In the Bible, it says flee fornication. You can't fool around with pornography. You can't fool around with the opposite sex and think that you can. No, flee those things. The Bible says flee youthful lusts that war against the soul. But there are also things that we are told to stand against, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So there are times where when you see the enemy, we absolutely need to fight. And the enemy you think you're going to run from will only get stronger. We've seen that demonstrated in the news lately. Areas of our country with bleeding heart liberals and all. You could say, oh, Stan, you're getting political now. You can't do that. You can take it for what you want. As a watchman, I am required to say what I see. I don't enjoy it. I'd rather keep quiet. We'll talk about that. But we're watching in the news right now, this week, of riots taking place where those riots started by appeasement. Let's give these people, they want their chop zone or whatever you want to call it, they want their zone. Let's just go ahead and give it to them and we'll walk away and we'll let them take care of themselves. Let me tell you, you cannot appease evil. Evil only gets stronger when you walk away from it. And for those areas where we thought, well, we'll just let them do whatever they want to and they're going to be fine, trouble only gets worse. You have to confront evil. Evil has only gotten stronger in America as we've walked away from it and been politically correct and not said anything, and maybe it'll take care of itself. It won't. Satan only gets stronger when he's left alone. He has to be confronted. Resist the devil. And I'm not smiling over that one. There's a fight to be fought. You and I can't run from it. Valiance, determination is required. We're called to stand our ground. You can't turn your back on the enemy. In Ephesians chapter 6, when you look at the armor of the believer, the warrior, there's no armor for the back. If you turn and run, you are unprotected. You're called to stand. The enemy is never satisfied. Old Lester Roloff was a controversial preacher in his day, and like him or dislike him, whatever you want to say about him, if you know anything about him, I'll tell you what, he wasn't afraid to fight. And some of his methods may not have been as loving as some people might require. But I have to believe as time goes on, if you want to stand for Jesus Christ, you are going to become more and more controversial in this old sinful world. And we want to be liked, and we want to be admired. And I want, if you're honest, I want you to like me. I want you to think that I'm a nice guy. I want you to think I smile a lot. And we're fooling around with some of those things. But honestly, nobody wants to be disliked. Everybody wants to be accepted and popular. But that's not what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to stand and be watchful and report what we see. And I have to think that as controversial as old Lester Roloff was back in his day, every one of us standing for the Lord are going to be controversial in our day. He wrote a song, "Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to try to get up because I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation hall. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay." I completely agree with that. Old Lester Roloff, he was valiant. We need to be vigilant. We need to be valiant. And lastly, we're called to be vocal. And I know this is a part that's hard. Ephesians 4, 14 to 15 says, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine." In other words, know what you believe. Believe what is right. "By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love." Say that with me. "But speaking the truth in love." And that's the key. "May grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ." There's a group of Christians out there that believe their silent witness is all they need. They think that, well, obviously, by my appearance, what I wear, how I look, then they're going to be convicted by just my personal appearance, and I won't need to say anything. And nothing could be farther from the truth. I submit to you that some of the trouble that we are in today is because of our polite silence has let evil become stronger. In our politically correct society, where they've shouted us down and told us to be quiet and said, "You can believe what you want to, but just keep it to yourself." In other words, no, you can't believe what you want to, because what I believe requires me to share it with others. And so for them to tell me that I can believe what I want but don't say so is in total disregard of what I believe. We are commanded to say so. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I am a Christian. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. He's risen. He lives. He's forgiven my sins. When I die someday, I'm going to heaven, not because I'm a good guy, but because Christ paid the way, and my ticket is paid in full, and I'm looking forward to that wonderful day when I can be with Jesus. You can't keep quiet about that. Tell me when you ever saw in a courtroom a witness brought onto the stand, and they raised their right hand, and we used to swear in a Bible. I don't know if they require that anymore, to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. And that person sits on the stand and they take their place. I'm looking for my chair that I used to have, and I guess I don't have it anymore. So I'm going to illustrate this for you. I'll steal the piano stool. I don't know what happened to my chair. I'll have to find that. Pardon me. So here we are. So help me God. Take a seat. I'm sitting there. What camera am I on? There, one over there. They can't see me over there. How about this one over here? Okay. Take a seat. Now, Mr. Griffin, were you there on that day that we've talked of where this person over here is accused of this crime? What do you say, sir? Do you have anything to say, sir? Will you stand for this man? Is he guilty or not guilty? Looks stupid, doesn't it? Huh? You have to say something. No witness can be a witness in silence. No matter how good you look on the stand, no matter what you are wearing, no matter how good your hair looks, or ladies, maybe you've done your nails, your appearance doesn't matter in a court of law. What you say matters. Speaking the truth in love, but the key is speaking. We have to be vocal. Now, it's not annoying. We're speaking the truth in love. We want people to know we care about them and want them to choose right. If they're practicing a lifestyle that is contrary to God's word, we are against that. They cannot be blessed by God in doing so. Sad to say, there are churches in America today that have embraced the homosexual lifestyle, and actually support it and endorse it and encourage it, saying that's how you are born. Well, I want you to know that we are born in sin. And every one of us have a sinful condition. And every one of us have a propensity to sin. And if that's the way I was born, I should be able to do anything I want to because I'm born in a sinful condition. So don't condemn me. It's ludicrous to go in that direction. And the reality of it is that we are called to be vocal in a loving way of what we know to be true. No one ever went on trial and stood before a judge and was judged by their looks. Obviously, it may be part of an equation. You notice you always take an old convict that's guilty, put him before a judge and get him a new suit and stuff, whether they ever wore one or not. But that is not what declares their innocence or guilt. It is their testimony of what they say. Satan has silenced us through political correctness, intimidation, and any number of devices to quiet the source of truth. But as a watchman, Christian, we are required to report what we see. Vigilant, valiant, vocal. It's not in my notes. I'll just throw out the last V for you. I believe as a Christian, we are and will be victorious. How does that look? Well, I don't know. In this time, in this life, I want you to know that we may have an opportunity to see victory, and we may not. In Hebrews chapter 11, if you read about the heroes of the faith, they're all dead. And some of them died violently while standing for the truth in God Almighty. So on this side of eternity, victory may not look like what we're hoping for. I have no idea what the future holds. I have no idea what is in store for the United States of America. But I will tell you this, I'm going to preach the truth in love, show people a better way in Christ, and let the Lord decide just what our life and future will look like. And the victory is decided by Him. And I've decided to follow Jesus. We are watchmen. Be vigilant. Be valiant. Be vocal. And God will grant us the victory, either here or when we see Him face to face. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for Jesus Christ. I hope this message has made sense. I pray for the church. That group of people that you died for and gave your life for. Folks that meet at the Cornerstone Baptist Church or folks that have never been in this building but know you as their Savior are members of your church. God, I pray that we would be watchful and mindful and faithful to do what you've called us to do. That we would be silent no longer but speak the truth in love. Care about others, care about enough to take a stand and say the things that we know maybe don't want to be heard, but we know it's what needs to be said, and lovingly, prayerfully strengthen the things that remain. And hopefully, you would grant us a reprieve in the judgment that we deserve. Lord, thank you most of all that we will never experience the true judgment we deserve, and that is death and hell for our sins, because you have paid and taken care of that and took our place. And I pray that every person under the sound of my voice has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Oh, we love living for you and knowing you and the relationship that we have with you. And I pray that we would tell a lost and dying world all about it. Thank you for this time in your word. Bless your people, please. In Jesus' name, amen.